Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, come, let this be my story. Heaven, come, there will soon I'll be gone. Heaven, come, to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program Clear for Takeoff with Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air with you at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our program and also Frank Eliason for producing our show. And as we get into the readings for the 30th Sunday of Ordinary Time coming up, our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 through 9. And here it is. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations, proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level ground, so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, in the book of Jeremiah this morning, it's a powerful reading because the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. What has the Lord delivered you from? Has that changed your life in any way? I want you to think about it, my friends. What in your life has the Lord delivered you from? How has your life changed? And where are you going today? You know, very often we're working with people with addiction or incarceration, people who have had great struggles in life. And it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters most is where you're going. And the Lord delivers us from different situations. And we've had many people who have changed their lives as they were really struggling with addiction for many years. And then met the Lord, and the Lord picked them up, elevated them, helped to change their habits from bad to good. And this is the message here today, that the Lord can deliver, you know, the people of Israel, but he delivers us one at a time. He meets us where we are. I remember working up on death row at one of the facilities in prison for several years. And you just never know where people are going to be and how they got there. But the Lord gave me the opportunity to understand people who were convicted of homicide. And I just tell you, he can deliver anyone, as he did St. Paul, who was the great persecutor of Christians. And a person who was opposed to the message of the gospel, a persecutor of Christians. And even the apostles, you know, didn't trust St. Paul because of his background, his past. But the Lord delivered him, and he gave new opportunity. And the Word of God says this, that the Lord will gather them from the ends of the world with the blind people and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. So the Lord will do it for you, my friends, and for me. But first I ask you the question again, do you trust the Lord? Because we've got to be in that zone where we put full trust in the Lord. And the Lord says it this way, you know, we want to trust him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. And these are not just words. These are actions, each in daily life, that we must take to get to that level of trust where the Lord sees that we put it all in his hands. We're not putting it into corporate America or some, you know, friend or someone that we came in contact with in a business venture. We're putting it in the Lord's hands and asking him to do everything that has to be done. And that's where it all begins, my friends, with trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. And the Lord says, you know, to seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. And this is where the rubber meets the road, because we want to take control. We want to use our talents and our education, background, and experience. But the Lord truly wants us to make sure that we're going in the right direction. So he says, seek thee first. Seek the Lord first. The kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. When we're doing this, we are fully putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word says, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on level ground so that none will stumble. Yes, my friends, Jesus will lead us, but we have to trust first. And that's the message. We've got to put our trust. Very often we put our trust in the wrong people, the wrong things. We put our trust in human beings versus God himself. We put our trust into the stock market. Put our trust into people we don't know who call us on the telephone or send us a letter. And the Lord is telling us, you know, truly to be careful, but to trust him first, to seek thee first the kingdom of God. So we want to make him first, and we want to move forward in that direction. One day at a time, we measure trust, one conversation at a time. And this is powerful because the Lord himself is giving us opportunity to prove it out, my friends, and to not just come up with lip service. And this is an important message from our Lord through the prophet Jeremiah this morning. Let's move to our second reading. A reading from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Once again, through the words of St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so for this reason must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you." Just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Hebrews, through the words of St. Paul, once again, the Lord tells us that every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. The holy priesthood, representatives before God. The holy priesthood, bishops, cardinals, the Pope. And my friends, I want to take this moment to acknowledge that we have to pray for our priests. And our Blessed Mother Mary has told us this many times at apparition sites. We have to pray for peace within our hearts, but pray for our clergy, because the challenges are very great in living the life of a priest. The blessings are very great as well. But we want to pray, my friends, through the intercession of our Holy Family, that God will enlighten the Holy Spirit within our priests and give them the guidance and direction only through the Holy Spirit in making great decisions that are focused on the Word of God and how to move our church forward through difficult times. Father God, we pray that you will enlighten that Holy Spirit and that the Lord will touch the hearts and minds of our priests to make them holy, to defend them and to protect them, to give them all that they need in daily life. We pray, Father God, that you will provide a circle of influence around our priests that will impact them in a positive way, and that you will help them to fight off temptation and some of the challenges that we all have as human men in this world. Father God, we thank you for our priests and the good work that they have done throughout the world. We thank you for the wonderful words of wisdom coming from the pulpit and for the holy mass that cannot be created without the priest each and every day. So, Father God, we put this prayer into your hands through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Word, my friends, talks about gifts and sacrifices for sins, for the sins that we have committed, and that the priests themselves, the high priest, will offer gifts and sacrifices for his sins. But what gifts and sacrifices can you and I offer for our sins? Let's take a look at it. Let's talk practical now in daily life. Monday through Sunday, 7 days, 168 hours a week, 24 and 7. Number one, we can offer time in prayer. Quality time in prayer. Authentic Christianity in prayer. Words and actions we can offer to the Lord and acknowledging Him in all things, which he calls us to do in the Word of God. But quality time in prayer. What is your prayer like life today? What is it like today? Is it full? Is it blossoming? Or is it stagnating, diminishing? Where are you in that prayer life? Because we are called to offer gifts and sacrifices for our sins. Service to other people. What community service are you involved in? First and foremost, in your own family with your own children, your own grandparents, and other people, your neighbors. There are some incredible neighbors, my friends, who are retired in our community and who take it upon themselves to go out every day and bring in the trash pails to help to cut the lawn, and to do different things for people when they are challenged with illnesses and struggles in life. And so service to others. You know, there are a lot of great people out there who are making meals for other people, delivering those meals. For many years, I was engaged in some service with the Aid for Friends, who was making at the time 2 million meals a year. A very powerful ministry to support the frail elderly and the homebound. And I just tell you that if you have time to offer to help other people, that would be a wonderful thing, to do, as it opened up the door to many relationships. And also there's fasting, okay, as a sacrifice, fasting. And normally, you know, in the Lenten period, we fast, you know, on Wednesdays and Fridays, and we acknowledge that we are going to do that in preparation for Easter. But that can be done throughout the year at any time. Okay, sacrificing meals, giving up something you really enjoy, something you love, giving it up for the Lord and acknowledging that to the Lord. Because we have to make sacrifices for the sins that we have committed. Just like the Lord came 2,000 years ago and sacrificed his own life so that we one day could be saved from our sins and have access to eternal life with our Father in heaven, we too must make these sacrifices. And although we want to enjoy life to the fullest, part of the bigger picture is that we want to enjoy eternal life with our Lord and our Father in heaven. And we want to be there and to do, you know, what we can now, today, this week, in sacrifice. Okay, what are we willing to give up? What addictions are you willing to give up? What bad habits are you willing to give up so that we can, you know, make changes and go forward? But truly, we have to offer gifts like the high priest who offer gifts and sacrifices for themselves and for the sins that they have committed because of their greatest weaknesses or most vulnerable area. We too have the same, as we are vulnerable human beings. And sometimes we are very weak, and God calls us to strengthen ourselves through sacrifice. And this is important. And there's no time like the present, my friends, to get started. And are you and I patient with the ignorant? Because in the Word today, we're talking about the high priest and how he deals with people patiently, especially with the ignorant, people who are, you know, unaware of how important, you know, God is in the world today, how important the Word of God is. So he talks about patience. So I pose the question to you and I, are we patient with people who are ignorant, with those who reject God or ignore God, with those who don't value the unborn child? People who have no value for traditional marriage and family life between one man and one woman. Think about it, my friends. How do we ignore, how do we deal with the ignorant? How do we do that? Are we patient? Do we educate and motivate? You know, what can we do better? Or do we just shut the door and walk away? Because God calls us to win people over. And there have been abortionists who have been educated by some of the best priests in the world today, who got to the heart of the man and helped him to see the light that we indeed have human life within a mother's womb. And with this medical education, medical factual data, they were able to change a man who, you know, did thousands, tens of thousands of abortions and changed him into, you know, a Catholic man who is pro-life, standing up strong for the unborn child within a mother's womb, standing up strong for traditional family life as the Lord sees it. Because today we're living in a world, my friends, where ignorance is widespread. We see it in politics. We see it in corporate America. We see it in some people who are living in our neighborhoods. We see it sometimes in our own church where people don't believe what's really going on. But the reality is there is a lot of ignorance, and we've got to make the correction through education. Just like in aviation, sometimes people can be unaware of what's really happening around them. Their situational awareness is very, very minimal. And so they need more information, more education, and they need to apply it to the present position that they're in. Same thing with some of the great topics we're facing today, like abortion and also, same-sex marriage and the LGBTQ, agenda, which is, very, very misaligned and not aligned with God's word. We need to do whatever we can, my friends, to be patient and to be prepared to educate people one person at a time, one class at a time. And as opportunities come up to do that, we want to remember that. And just to reflect on this once again through the words of St. Paul in the book of Hebrews, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representatives before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. The high priest, he is able to deal patiently with the ignorant. Okay, so this is where you and I maybe at one time were ignorant to many of these issues, but today we are walking with the Lord. We're closer to the Lord. We want to be one with him. And he calls us to be patient as he was patient. And sometimes people will walk away from you, but you do the best that you can to get the message across. You do the best you can to touch the heart and the mind of that person and win them over to the Lord's way of thinking. It's not my way of thinking. It's the Lord's way of thinking. All great decisions are made based on the Word of God. And unless you're opening the Word of God and engaging in it and reading it and applying it, it's impossible to make a decision based on the Word of God. So we've got to look at the Word as being, very, very pertinent in daily walk so that we can make great decisions rooted in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. This is important. Let's go to our gospel reading right now from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And here it is. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go on your way, your faith has saved you." And immediately he received the sight and followed him on the way. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the gospel of Mark today, the Lord shows us his incredible mercy and his attention to the faith of a man. And he says to Bartimaeus, who asked him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Go on your way. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed the Lord on his way. So Jesus once again wants to see a strong faith. He wants to see our faith displayed in word and action. He wants to see it consistently every day, not 6 days a week, not only on Sundays in the church. He wants to see it 24/7, all the time. And the Lord, you know, he shows us this through the miracle of the eyesight being restored for Bartimaeus through the Gospel of Mark. And where is your faith once again today, my friends? As we talk about faith, you know, faith is a journey, and it takes time to arrive at the level that God calls us to be at. What are we doing each and every day spiritually to strengthen our faith in Christ, our faith in God? This is important. How do we pray? Which is so important. There's options, my friends, to pray by yourself, to pray in a church, a chapel. Either way, God calls us to pray, but he sees us no matter where we are, no matter what we do. He sees us and he knows our prayers. He hears every word. There's also group prayer, community prayer, the Holy Mass. There are retreats. There's options, my friends, to help you and I to grow into the people, the men and women that we are called to be in the eyes of God. But God calls us to strengthen our faith, and it takes work. I've got to do my part. You have to do your part. It's not something that we can just, you know, have and it just is maintained. It can stagnate, and like a flower that's not watered, it can stagnate and die. But faith is a gift. God gives it to us, and no one comes to the Lord unless the Father has moved him in that direction. And that's powerful. But we need to do our part to take action. You know, a minute here, a minute there, an hour here. You know, you decide how and when you want to pray, how it is you want to continue your life with Christ. But God calls us to live a good life and to be one with him. And this, my friends, is important. And today the Gospel of Mark reminds us of people who cannot see through Bartimaeus, and it's through his faith in Christ that the Lord told him, go on your way, your faith has healed you. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you, and I want to thank you for listening today. Have a great day, and thank you for joining us at Clear for Takeoff. God bless you, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.